Lord, once again, we thank you for loving us, Lord, because you loved us, we can love you. As the Bible says, you loved us first. But we do need to love you. And love is obedience, not just a feeling, it's action. Faith without works, the works of love is dead indeed. And as Abraham offered up his son upon the altar out of love for you, so we offer up ourselves, Lord. All that we have, all that's precious in our lives, we offer to you so we might complete this journey and not be distracted to another path. So help us today, Lord, to glean from this precious book and from the book of all books, the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, lesson number 14. And I did remember to put the map in this time. And so as you see, we're getting toward the end. Right, we're all the way over here, just leaving the Delectable Mountains now, okay, heading towards the River of Death, okay, in which we have to cross in order to get into the Celestial City. Okay. So, no need to go over everything. We went last time to the Delectable Mountains, okay, Mount Caution, Mount Marvel. We didn't talk about them. I think some of them come up in the other book, the second book. Mount Clear, Mount Innocence, Mount Charity, and here is the hill called Error. Right? And here we have the Byway to Hell. So that was from last time. And while Christian and Hopeful were with the shepherds, okay, what were their names? Here they are. Knowledge. Experience, watchful, and sincere, right? That's what shepherds are supposed to be, right? And they gave them a number of warnings, at least six warnings that were given. And again, this book is filled with warnings, okay? In fact, in the very beginning, when Pilgrim senses his doom, he meets Evangelist and says, flee from the wrath to come. So it's a warning, you got to flee, right? So out throughout the journey here, he has many warnings. And the warnings are good. They're encouraging to us to be warned. Right? So the first one was the hill Error. And what was that about? Who remembers? The hill called Error. What was at the bottom of the hill? It was a cliff, really. It was a hill, and then it ended up in a sheer cliff. Yeah, bodies that were left there to rot, to die and rot. They were those that strayed in error. Okay. And then there was Mount Caution. And from Mount Caution, they looked through a glass and they saw men wandering in a graveyard who were blinded by giant despair because they had taken bypath meadow, right? Just as Hopeful and Christian had. Right? Then there was the Byway to Hell. They were warned about that. And they talked about Esau, Judas, Ananias, and Sapphira. Right? So no matter where you are in this journey, there's always the potential to go astray. Then there was the note that they gave them, and I wasn't quite sure what that note contained. I read it a bit later. It would contain general warnings, okay, of the way. And then there was beware of the flatterer. Okay. And when someone flatters you, they're trying to get something from you, right? They're trying to manipulate you. Right? And then there was the enchanted ground. Beware not to sleep on the enchanted ground. So, today, well, we're not going to actually get all the way through this. We're going to look at these pages. We're going to meet ignorance, comes from the town of conceit. Right? Turn away, he is from the town of apostasy. Little faith, he is from the town of sincere. And then there's faint heart, mistrust, and guilt. Right? Then there's great grace, who we just hear about. We just have mention of him. Right, he's not seen in the story. And then atheist, which we won't get to today, on page 153. Okay. So let's go to ignorance now from the town of conceit. Okay. And they wanted to know about ignorance, where he was going. He said, sir, I was born in the country that lies of there. A little on the left hand, and I'm going to the Celestial City. So many people they meet are going to Celestial City, right? but so few actually make it there. Okay. Christian, how do you think to get in at the gate? For you may find some difficulty there. Ignorant said, as other good people do, but what have you to show at the gate that may cause that the gate should be open to you? Ignorant says, I know my Lord's will. Okay, and that's enough to hang himself, right? Because the Bible says, those that know the will of God and don't do it shall be beaten with, what? Many stripes. Okay, those that don't know the will of God and don't do it will be beaten with fewer stripes. But those that know the will of God will be beaten with many stripes. Okay, so that's enough really to certainly incriminate you and your guilt. So he says, I know the Lord's will, and I have been a good liver. I've lived a good life. I pay every man his own. I don't owe money. I don't steal. I pray, fast, pay tithes, give alms, and have left my country for whither I'm going. So he's left all for the celestial city, but he didn't come through the narrow gate. Okay. So Christian says, but thou camest not in at the wicket gate, the narrow gate, that is at the head of this way. Thou camest in hither through the same crooked lane. And who else did we meet came not by the wicket gate? Remember who they were? They climbed over the wall and disappeared. And hill difficulty. Formless and hypocrisy, right? And therefore I fear, however, thou mayest think of thyself when the reckoning day shall come. Right, and that's important. There will be a reckoning, okay? That's judgment day. Thou wilt have laid to thy charge that thou art a thief and a robber instead of getting admittance into the city. Okay? You'll be found to be false. So it's like the wheat and the tares. They grow up together. They look very much like the same thing, but on that day of judgment, all shall be known. Right? And so ignorance comes from the town of deceit. What does deceit, conceit? What does conceit mean? An excessively favorable opinion of one's own ability, okay? Importance, wit, etc. Okay? An excessively favorable opinion of your abilities. Okay? That is what conceit is. Okay? The evangelist, the preacher D.L. Moody said, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. Okay? But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition, this is worldly ambition, not spiritual ambition, okay? There is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be empty before we can be filled. And I believe many a man is praying to God to fill him when he is full already with something else. So if you're filled with earthly ambition, the Spirit of God cannot fill you. If you're filled with an excessive pride of yourself, the Holy Spirit cannot fill you. So we have to humble ourselves before God can fill us. Right? Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, it's all of us, okay, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Right? So that's part of that drunkenness spirit. In other words, when Paul said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to the Ephesians. When we think soberly of ourselves, we are thinking lowly of ourselves. When we're drunk, we begin to think high of ourselves. We begin to boast of ourselves. So every man ought to think soberly according as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. Bible commentator Adam Clark says, let no man think himself more or greater than God has made him. And let him know that whatever he is or has of God, of good or excellence, he has it from God. So every good thing we have comes from God. Every breath, every good thought comes from God. Not the bad thoughts, they don't come from God. Right? And that the glory belongs to the giver and not to him who has received the gift. So that's what it means to empty ourselves of all selfish ambition and conceit. That is to know that everything comes from God. All that we have is from him. All right, let's go back to ignorance. He says, gentlemen, you be utter strangers to me. And that's true. You know, when you meet someone who says they're a Christian, but then you begin to speak of spiritual things as they spoke to ignorance before of spiritual things, they just didn't, you know, jive together. Right? It didn't gel together because he's, you know, on a different page. Okay? So when you meet people, they say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Open the Bible and begin to talk about biblical things and you'll see, okay, whether they're really interested in the Bible or not. Right? So ignorance says, I don't know you. Okay? We're strangers. Be content to follow the religion of your country. In other words, you follow your God, I'll follow mine. You go your way, I'll go my way. I will follow the religion of mine. I hope all will be well. Sounds very spiritual, right? Oh, I wish you the best. You know, Godspeed, all that. And as for the gate that you talk of, all the world knows that that is a great way off from our country. I cannot think that any man in all our parts doth so much as know the way to it, nor need they matter whether they do or not, from the town of conceit. Okay? They don't know about that because it's a narrow gate. You have to humble yourself, right? Since we have, as you see, a fine, pleasant green lane that comes down from our country the next way into the way. All right, so that's ignorance for a while. We'll meet up with him again later. And now we go to little faith. Okay? Little faith. Right. Now I call to remembrance that which was told me of a thing that happened to a good man hereabout. The name of the man was Little Faith, but a good man, and he dwelt in the town of Sincere. So right away we see he was a man of faith, he was good, he was righteous, and he was from Sincere. The thing was this, however, thing is he had little faith, okay? At the entering in at this passage, there comes down from Broadway Gate a lane called Dead Man's Lane, so called because of the murders that are commonly done there, murders of the journeymen. And this little faith, going on pilgrims, as we do now, chanced to sit down there and slept. Now there happened at that time to come down from the lane, from Broadway Lane, that's the Broad Road, okay? The Broad Road runs very near the Narrow Road. But there is a little lane, okay? It's Broadway Gate, okay? That leads back and forth. There came from the Broadway Gate three sturdy rogues. Their names were Faint Heart, okay? Mistrust, and Guilt, three brothers. And they, espying Little Faith where he was, came galloping up with speed. And they were going to rob him, okay? So they came to him and with threatening language bid him stand. At this Little Faith looked as white as a cloud and had neither power to fight nor fly. Now what we're going to see here is the problems with Little Faith. Okay. So as we look at these next couple pages, try to remember why Little Faith is problematic. Okay. And we see the first thing here. Okay. Because he is Little Faith, he had not power to fight these men, nor to flee. Okay. Then said Fainheart, deliver thy purse. But he making no haste to do it, for he was loath to lose his money, Mistrust ran up to him, and thrusting his hand into his pocket, pulled out thence a bag of silver. Then he cried out, Little Faith did, thieves, thieves, with that Guilt, with a great club that was in his hand, struck Little Faith on the head, and with that blow felled him flat to the ground, where he lay bleeding as one that would bleed to death. All this while the thieves stood by, but at last they heard that some were upon the road. This was now on the Narrow Road. Okay? So actually these thieves came. It wasn't Little Faith who went to the Broad Road. It was the thieves who came on the Narrow Road. Okay? They hearing that some were upon the road, and fearing lest it should be one called Great Grace, okay? And that's our introduction to Great Grace, that dwells in the city of good confidence, they betook themselves to their heels. I think you understand what that means, right? They fled and left this good man to shift for himself. Now after a while, Little Faith came to himself and getting up, made shift to scrabble on his way. Okay? Hands and knees, scrabble on his way. This was the story. And so here is a depiction of Mistrust, Guilt, and what was the other guy's name? Faintheart, right? They're beating him up. Okay, they clubbed him and they robbed him. took away his silver. Hopeful says, but did they take from him all that ever he had? For he had more than money, he also had jewels. Okay? And Bunyan goes to a great length, and we might look at that next week, in showing the difference between the money he had and the jewels, which they didn't take. Right? It's kind of deep, and I didn't want to get into it tonight. We might just gloss over it a little bit if we have time. Krishna says, no, the place where his jewels were, they never ransacked. So those he kept still. But as I was told, the good man was much afflicted for his loss, for the thieves got most of his spending money. That which they got not, as I said, were jewels. Also he had a little odd money left, but scarce enough to bring him to his journey's end. Nay, if I were not misinformed, he was forced to beg as he went, to keep himself alive, for his jewels he might not sell. He would not sell them, but beg and do what he could. He went, as we say, with many a hungry belly, the most part of the rest of the way. Krishna says, it is a wonder, but they got not that, the jewels, though they missed it not through any good cunning of his, right? Yeah, because he was knocked down, he was bleeding, he was almost unconscious. For he, being dismayed with their coming upon him, had neither power nor skill to hide anything. So it was more by good providence than by his endeavor that they missed of that good thing, his jewels. Hopeful says, but it must needs be a comfort to him that they got not this jewel from him. And he just emphasizes here just one jewel. There are a few. It might have been great comfort to him had he used it as he should. Okay? But they that told me the story said that he made but little use of it all the rest of the way. And that because of the dismay that he had in the taking away of his money indeed. He forgot it a great part of the rest of his journey. Do you remember what that jewel was? It was that certificate that the Shining Ones gave Pilgrim at the cross. It was his assurance of salvation. Okay? And so, the money were other things, like the joy, perhaps, of the Lord, more confidence, less, more like assurance, but they, and he kept his assurance of salvation, but he didn't use it, as it says here. Okay? He forgot it a great part of the rest of the way. That meant he was often in doubt, okay? Often in derision, often in confusion. And besides, when at any time it came into his mind, he began to be comforted therewith, then would fresh thoughts of his loss come again upon him, and those thoughts would swallow up all. Okay? So what were some of the problems with little faith? Right? Number one, he did not have power to fight or flee. Right? He was not able to fight off those who were taking his joy and other things that God gives us, the peace. Okay, they were robbing him of joy, robbing him of peace. He didn't have power to fight that off. Secondly, he was forced to beg as he went. He went on with a hungry belly. In other words, he was not satisfied, really. Okay? He was not being filled. You could say he's not, if you have little faith, you're really not filled with God's Spirit. Okay? Number four, he made little use of his certificate, was assurance, the first jewel. And five, he was swallowed up with sorrow, okay? Because he would think about being robbed. Okay? And so being robbed of his joy left him with even greater sorrow when he thought about it. Oh, said Hopeful, alas, poor man, this could not but be a great grief to him. Yes, said Christian, grief, a grief indeed. Would it not have been so to any of us? Have it been used as he to be robbed and wounded too, and that in a strange place, as he was. It is a wonder he did not die with grief, poor heart. And here we see another problem with little faith. I was told that he scattered almost all the rest of the way, with nothing but doleful and bitter complaints. Okay. So, even though little faith seems to be sincere and on his way to heaven, because he has that in mind, okay, he lets himself be robbed, he's sorrowful, he's doubting so much, right, and he even has bitter complaints. Okay. So he's not a happy Christian. Okay. He's not a joyful Christian.
because of a little faith. It was Spurgeon that said, little faith can get you to heaven, but great faith brings heaven to you. Okay? In other words, that faith brings in that abundant life that Christ came, that more abundant life. So all the rest of the way with nothing but doleful and bitter complaints, telling us also to all that overtook him, or that he overtook in the way as he went, where he was robbed, and how, who they were that did it, and what he lost. How he was wounded, and that he hardly escaped with his life. Okay. So having little faith is problematic. What does problematic mean? Yeah, it causes problems. Okay. Just in case you don't know. It's probably an eighth grade word. You'll learn soon, right? Problematic. It makes problems for you. Okay. Why do you think little faith, other than the things we just went through, what does the Bible say we need faith for to do? And if you have little of it, you can have a hard time. What do we need faith for?
To go through trials.
Yeah, to go through trials and tribulations, right? And to be of good cheer, right? Think, count it all joy, right? James says, when enter many trials and temptations. Okay, and so if they're robbed of your joy because of little faith, in other words, little. What is faith? What is faith? Let's go back and define faith first of all. What is faith? Faith. What is faith?
Yeah.
What is your faith? What does your name mean? Faith. To trust, right? Yeah. Hebrews 1, Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's trusting God. It's seeing the invisible. By faith, Moses saw him who was invisible, and so he endured the hardships of the journey because of faith. Okay? And so, that's what faith means. Okay? It means to trust, to rely upon God, no matter what you see. We walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? And so, with little faith, you wonder if Moses would have endured, okay? No. Because he was a man of great faith. Right? We need faith to resist the devil, right? The Bible says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Okay? We take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the bigger your shield is, right, the more coverage you have. Okay? The smaller your shield is, okay, the less coverage you have. Okay? You're going to be hit with the arrows. You're going to have a very busy time trying to deflect those arrows with a little shield of faith. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said that the false teaching overthrew the faith of some. Okay? And Jesus rebuked his disciples for having little faith. Okay? What is the only good little faith, according to the Bible? If you have faith, the size of what? A mustard seed. Okay. Why is that good faith? Why didn't, when Jesus saw the little faith of his disciples in the boat and rebuked them for the little faith, because what? What did their little faith do? It brought fear, right? They were terrified. Not only were they terrified, they complained to Christ, Master, don't you care that we perish? Okay. So this little faith here was going along with complaining and no joy, no confidence, okay? But he knew he was going the right direction, but he was a miserable, miserable Christian. When Jesus rebuked the disciples for little faith, okay, why did he do that? Why did he rebuke them? Why didn't he say, hey, it's good faith. Little faith is good. You have faith as a mustard seed. It wasn't. Why wasn't their faith in the boat like a mustard seed? Because Jesus praises the mustard seed faith. What's the difference between the little faith the disciples had in the boat and the little mustard seed faith? What's the difference? That's right, exactly. It grows, okay, into a huge tree. Okay? A huge tree. And so, the little faith that's growing is good. And we don't know from here, from the story, if little faith's faith was growing. Bunyan's making us believe it was. That it was genuine faith. Okay? So even though he was falling a lot and failing and being robbed and sorrowful, he was still on the way to heaven. Right? So hopefully it was growing. Right? So, mustard seed faith is faith that grows. Okay? So Jesus did rebuke his disciples for not having much faith. And so we've talked before that fear comes out of a lack of faith. Okay? Worry comes out of a lack of faith. Okay? Now, I was listening to Caleb the other day, and I was kind of upset that they were talking about worry, and they were saying, well, we can't help but worry. And the one guy said, well, technically, we're not supposed to worry, because the Bible says so. Yeah, but then she said, yeah, but we do, and it made it sound like it was okay to worry. That was the end result. Like, no, let's not worry. Let's trust the Lord. Okay? Worry is a sin. Okay? And so, little faith means great worry. Little faith means big fear. Okay? And so, if little faith here stays this little, it's a problem, right? When you're 18 and you're only 2'4", whatever you are, okay? You're a little taller than that, okay? In other words, you don't want to be that tall when you're 25, right? You don't want to walk down the aisle, you know, with your groom-to-be, and he's like, you know, 6'2", and you're down here. No, okay? So in other words, if you're not growing, there's something wrong, okay? There's something inside that's wrong, right? The sickness, there's dwarfism, right? So, little faith, okay? So, he went the rest of the way with nothing but doleful and bitter complaints, okay? Not someone you really want to be a partner with in the journey, right? Because they're going to pull you down. All right, let's go to page 150, 151. So they went on and ignorance followed. Okay. Then they went till they came at a place where they saw a way off, a way put itself into their way. Right? In other words, there was a fork in the road. Okay? Right. A fork in the road. That's what they meant by that. Okay. And it seemed withal to lie as straight as the way which they would go. And here they knew not which of the two to take. Okay. And we often come to the crossroads. We come to a fork in the road. Okay. And we don't know which way to go. Okay. So, when we don't know which way to go, God's waiting there for us to pray. But Satan's also there. The flatterer comes. Okay. And he bids them follow him. Okay. And you always have people, because the Bible says there are many voices in the world. You always have someone who says, follow me, do it my way, this is best, right? And if we don't spend time in prayer, we're going to end up in trouble most of the time. And here they knew not which of the two to take, which way, for both seemed straight before them. Therefore, here they stood still to consider. Okay? Not really praying, just considering, just thinking, okay? That's not prayer, okay? Prayer is getting on your face before God and saying, God, I am so stupid, I am so blind, I don't know which way to go. Show me. Okay? Not just thinking. Okay? And as they were thinking about the way, behold, a man black of flesh, right, but covered with a very light robe. Now, it's not really socially correct, right? But this is what Bunyan said. He probably, if he wrote the book in this generation, he probably wouldn't say it's a black man, right? Because, you know, black is often identified with sin. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, the Bible says, right? So a black man came dressed in white, right? He was, well, we'll see, right?
Probably
in 16th century, yeah.
England,
not too many black people.
Slaves.
Some slaves, yeah. Slaves, okay? With a very light robe, came to them and asked them why they stood there. And they answered, they were going to the celestial city, but knew not which way to take. Follow me, said the man. It is thither or there that I'm going. So they followed him. Well, they didn't test the spirits, okay? The Bible tells them to test the spirits, okay? Ask the guy a lot of questions. So they followed him in the way, but now came into the road, which by degrees turned, little by little, it's turning, okay? Little by little, right? When they stood at the fork in the road, there wasn't one real crooked path. No, they would know to take that. But it looked straight, and the flatterer came, and as they walked, it turned little by little. Okay? Little by little, we turn out of the way. By degrees turned, and turned them so from the city that they desired to go to, that in little time their faces, I'm sorry, let me read that right. So they followed him in the way, that but now came into the road, which by degrees turned, and turned them so from the city that they desired to go to, that in little time their faces were turned away from it. Okay? They weren't even facing in the right direction. They were facing in the opposite direction. Okay? Yet they followed him. Again, you see why we're called sheep, right? Why are we called sheep? Yeah. Are sheep really smart animals?
No.
No, they're kind of stupid, right? And they need to follow. And so here, notice, and they followed him. That's what sheep do, okay? A false shepherd comes, and they follow him. Without prayer, without discerning of spirits. That's why so many people go flock to the false teachers. They don't pray. They don't discern. They don't read the word. They don't study. They just follow. That's what sheep do, right? But by and by, before they were aware, he led them both within the compass of a net in which they were both so entangled that they knew not what to do. And with that, the white robe fell off the black man's back, and they saw where they were. Wherefore, there they lay, crying for some time. They could not get themselves out. Okay? So here are the two roads. They look good. They're definitely going in different directions. And then someone comes along wearing white. Okay? And he deceives us, okay? We know who it is, right? It's Lucifer, okay? Yeah, it's creepy, isn't it? That is a statue of Lucifer, the angel of light. Okay? Want to see that again?
No.
I'm going to get you. The devil's going to get you. And so here they are. Here is the net. And along comes a shining one, which is an angel. And what does he have in his hand? A whip. Okay. And he is going to lash them about. Thus they lay bewailing themselves. Oh, woe is us. What did we do? We did it again. You know, we went astray again. But, right? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. At last they saw a shining one, the angel coming towards them with a whip of small cords in his hand. Okay? When he was come to the place where they were, he asked them whence they came and what they did there. And they told him that they were poor pilgrims going to Zion, but were led out of their way by a black man, clothed in white, who bid us, said they, follow him, for he was going thither too. Then said he with the whip, it is flatterer, a false apostle that hath transformed himself into an angel of light. As the apostle Paul warned the Corinthian church, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Then I saw my dream. And I like this. We're going to end kind of early tonight. Then I saw my dream that he commanded them to lie down. Okay. The angel commanded them to lie down. Took the net off. Okay. Commanded them to lie down. When they did, he chastened them sore with the whip, to teach them the good way wherein they should walk. And as he chastened them, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Do you know to whom, to what church in Revelation Jesus said that? One of the seven churches. Church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. Okay. So that would seem to sort of lend us to believe that they were being lukewarm. Now, how were they being lukewarm by following flatterer? Think of what we said earlier. Why was that lukewarmness? In other words, he's taking a quote there from Jesus speaking to the lukewarm church. He's going to vomit out of their mouth. Okay? Again, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There's a connection here Bunyan makes with the lukewarm church. What was lukewarm about Christian hopeful when they came to that fork in the road? They did not what? Pray. They did not seek the Lord. That's lukewarmness. Okay. It's not cold. It's not like we don't want to go that way. We don't love God. Okay. But we're not going to find out from Him what we need to do. Okay. And so that was a spot of lukewarmness in their life. This done, after he beat them with the whip, and he warned them, as many as I love, okay? This done, he bid them go on their way and take good heed to the other directions of the shepherds. And here's, I love this part. So they thanked him for all his kindness. Okay. They thanked him for all his kindness and went softly along the right way, singing. Okay. So I like that part. They thanked him. Thank you for the whip. Okay. Thank you for the punishment. Thank you for the spanking. Right? Right, Wesley? You thank Daddy when he spanks you?
No.
But you don't. Faith, a Christian, you ever get spanked?
Yeah.
Not much, right? But you thank Mommy and Daddy, right? I got a thank you once. Remember Billy Ionesco?
Oh, yeah. 30 years later, you got
it. Yeah. But remember, Eric, you remember little Billy? He used to push you down, trip you. Little Romanian boy that was living with us for, what, a month, was it?
He was a bully.
He was bullied. He was about, what, 9, 8, 10 years old? I had to give him a couple spankings, right? So, I mean, 30 years later, he wrote me an email. Thank you, Pastor Paul, for the spankings. I become a Christian now. Wow. I never thanked my dad and mom for spankings. Okay, now I do. Now I've done it, but not when I was being spanked, for sure. Not when I was being punished, deprived of things. I wasn't thankful. Okay, but here they were thankful. We should be thankful for the discipline of God, right? We should be thankful. So, Wesley, Faith, and Christian, next time you get a spanking, I hope you never get another spanking, remember to thank mom and dad for it. Because it hurts them more than it does you. I used to tell that to you guys, right? It hurts me than more it does you. It hurts in a different way, right? It hurts in a different way. Okay. And so they went away singing, as they'd done many times before. Come hither, you that walk along the way, see how the pilgrims fare that go astray. They catched our in an entangling net, cause they good counsel lightly did forget. There's the lukewarmness, okay? In other words, the note that the shepherds gave them, okay? They weren't interested in that, okay? Put it in their pocket, okay? It's like when George Washington crossed the Delaware at Fort Trenton. And Fort Trenton was garrisoned by the Hessian troops, okay? The Germans that were hired by the British to fight the American colonial soldiers. So Washington, remember that picture of him in the boat on the icy water crossing the Delaware? And a German Hessian soldier spotted them, and so he wrote a message to be delivered to General Rahl at the headquarters, or Colonel Rahl at Trenton Fort. And he was playing cards, the Hessian colonel. And he took the note, didn't read it, put it in his pocket. Okay. The note said, Washington's crossing the Delaware with soldiers. Okay. Put it in his pocket. A warning was given, didn't heed it. What happened? Shots were fired, they were already landed. Okay? And the Hessian troops lost, and Washington won the victory. Right? So, cause they good counsel lightly did forget. Okay? 'Tis true, they rescued were, but yet you see, they scourged to boot. Let this your caution be. Right? So that's all for tonight. Any questions? I'm sure you have a lot of homework to do, so let you get home, guys, and do your homework. No? Well, that's right, you're going away tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow, Friday, right? Yeah. Okay, no questions? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for the journey that we're taking, Lord. And Lord, help us to beware of the flatterer who tells us good things about ourselves, who pats us on the back, maybe tells us we're great Christians, that we have no need to suffer. His way is without suffering. His way, Lord, is easy. And how many pilgrims have gone astray over that stile, bypath metal to Doubting Castle? How many have found their way that by ends to hell? Listen to the flatterer. Lord, give us discernment, because flattering lips are growing more powerful. Help us, Lord, to be aware, to be warned, that we might escape much of this chastisement. And we do thank you for the chastening. We thank you for every tear that we have to shed, because many as you love, you chasten. And the reason is that we be zealous and repent and turn. Might just be from a thought we have to turn from. An attitude. Something we're harboring in our heart we have to turn from. And if we harbor that, your whip will come down upon us. You will scourge us because you love us. We want to thank you, Lord, for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.